Hey there, and welcome to the Good Kind Podcast. At Good Kind, we are all about helping people cultivate the good kind of habits and holiday practices that allow them to engage with God and one another throughout the year. To learn more about us and the products we make, go to www.goodkind.shop and follow us on social media. We hope you enjoy today's episode of the Good Kind Podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Good Kind Podcast. My name is Clayton Green, and I'm here with my two friends, Chris Popolardo and Amy Cavanaugh. Say hey, guys.
Woo. Hey, guys.
I knew you were going to do it. As soon as I said it, I was like, he's going to do the thing where he says it right back.
Yeah. Wow. And you liked that I did it.
Well, like is maybe an interesting word. Ooh. I don't know if I would say I liked it. Ooh. I anticipated it. I endured it.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think I wanted you to do it. I wanted you to have a different response. I wanted you to say hey to the people listening, not hey, guys, directly back
to me. That's what I did. I just used the same words that you gave me.
Oh, you were saying to them.
Yep. Oh. How are you doing, John?
Okay.
Oh, glad you're listening.
John's.
Oh, my.
It's more.
John listens.
It's more likely Sarah
guys,
is listening,
I'm picking
honestly.
Up
Sarah
on
also
some,
is listening.
Some animosity here. Maybe we should pray about it.
Oh, good job, Amy. Today we are doing an Easier Than You Think podcast. This is the fifth
really
one,
good.
I think, somewhere in the number of five. And we are talking about prayer, which should this have been number one or two? Like, what did we do before this?
I think we were scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to get our bearings.
We wanted to like go through some practice rounds with the ones that didn't matter as much in case we really botched it.
Right. That's why we did Bible before prayer. You know, we had that practice round over there on Bible. So, all right, we're talking about prayer today. We're going to make it easier than you think, but we got a long way in order to get there. There's some experiences that we need to learn from. There's some expectations that we need to let go of. Thanks, Chris. And but before we get there, I'd like to just know like what is happening in prayer. So here, the other day I was talking to someone. Yeah, it was a great story, and they asked me something's going on in their life, family member, kind of your quintessential situation. Family member sick. Mm-hmm. Can you pray for that person? Now that I didn't pray in that moment, it wasn't a request to pray in that moment. It was a request to pray for that
eventually,
person.
Yeah.
Eventually, which we ask each other to do a lot, but I'm not sure that it happens a ton, and it's hard to remember. But what was that person asking me to do?
That's a good question.
I feel like they're asking me to, like, heal that person, and I feel like that's a lot of pressure on me, and I'm not really sure. Like, is that a primary thing that's happening in prayer, is I'm asking God for the aunt to feel better? Like, because that seems to be a large part of the conversation when we think about prayer. But then when I read about prayer, that's not really a heavy piece of what the books on prayer are saying we're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. But in practice, it seems like that's what we do a lot. What's up with this?
If the average Christian asks other people to pray for them more than they actually pray themselves.
Oh,
like the amount of time that we say, hey, pray for this. And then the response, I will pray for that. I think that is, for a lot of Christians, kind of as far as prayer goes.
It's almost like, hey, how are you? Fine. How are you? Fine. It's like, so there's something that we're doing there that is not prayer, but it is a cordial interaction between two people.
I think
but that's not to say, there are a lot of people who, like, if you say, will you pray? They will pray for you.
And I know
there is something happening.
There's some folks who, you know, to counteract that, will stop and say, can we pray about that right now? Which is a little awkward, but it's also like, I mean, honestly, it's going to be hard to remember to do it later, so that's not a terrible thing to do.
Okay. But when we say, I'll pray about it right now, what's happening then?
What does that person want?
Yeah, what am I, if I say, okay, let's pray about that right now, it is, we are somehow uniting our, like, what is happening when we're praying?
I mean, I think it's probably less about actually, or maybe equal parts, actually healing Aunt Sally, and also, like, will you be with me in this moment for comfort and support?
Yeah, so we want something to change. But there also is like, I need a connection.
I want you to care about this because it matters to me.
Okay.
Like, share my burden a little bit.
All right. So here's another one. So someone's preaching. Well, not preaching. Someone's praying on stage. This is maybe the second most common time I feel like prayer comes up is we're in some kind of worship gathering. Someone is going to pray. And when they're praying, I'm a little bit confused because sometimes the prayer sounds like it's part of the sermon where they're still teaching me something. But have we changed and we're doing something different? Is the teaching is teaching me, but the prayer, are we doing the connection and change piece now? What's happening when we're praying on stage in a group of people? Is there something different there?
it should be. I mean, it should be different than preaching.
Right.
But the same people are doing both. And so I think they have a tendency to just, you can't get out of your head the fact that you're speaking in front of 500 people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you're addressing God, but really you're being very careful to make sure you're saying something that's beneficial to your listeners.
Yeah.
It'd be different. I assume the same person who's up there giving a 2 or 3 minute prayer that's like pretty articulate and tight is not going to pray that way when it's just them and God. They'll feel more liberty to
right.
talk, you know, just to have a conversation like we're having a conversation. But people might think less of them if they do that on a Sunday morning. I think that's what's right. going on there.
Yeah. I mean, like the best version of it is emulating Jesus saying, when you pray, pray like this, our Father, like an example type of prayer.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the worst version of it is using it as a transition so the band can come up.
Yeah. You know, that if we're talking about the different types of prayer, like when people are most commonly praying, will you pray for this thing? Mm-hmm. Will you pray for this person? Praying on stage. Unfortunately, sometimes praying for transition, mm-hmm. right? So, and then there is praying by yourself, which if I were to draw a picture of prayer, which no one's asked me to do ever in my life, but if I were to, I'm very curious now. Yeah, I would draw like somebody with their hands and they're like bowed and they're by themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is actually not, it's a private part of prayer. Is the same thing happening here? I mean, you see what I'm saying? I'm trying to like piece together all the different ways that we do pray, we ask for prayer, we experience prayer, we think prayer should be, to really try to find the through line, because, I mean, if I'm honest, guys, it's wild confusing.
I think this is why we waited so long on this, because it felt so sprawling. Well, what is the one thing with prayer? It seems to come up in so many different contexts, in so many different formats. You can pin down Bible reading or Sabbath or fasting, but like prayer, it's like, oh my, I don't, where do we even start, you know? So.
Yeah, and Amy, to your point, there's pray like this, our Father, but then there's liturgical prayer. Am I supposed to be reading prayer?
Yeah.
And then, man, if I just want to keep listening, then like, am I supposed to pray scripture,
mm-hmm.
right? And then part of the like preach when you pray piece, which I feel like for me for a long time, especially in groups, was when I'm praying, I'm preaching, I'm telling people what I believe, but I've also like telling God, praising God in prayer is saying, you are this, thank you for being this. And so it can kind of sound a little bit like preaching, but the praise, I feel like the relationship piece there is something that makes it different in terms of I'm just telling someone else God is, or I'm telling God you are. And so if I kind of feel like if I get down to it, that may be one of the differences in thinking or conversation or teaching and prayer is the direction of the conversation. Are we getting closer there?
I think so. You just mentioned thinking. Is that another one to add to the list? Because a lot of people pray silently. So what's the difference between praying silently to God and just thinking about something?
Yeah, and so,
which is actually, you asked me this question earlier this week, and I'm like, I'm not sure I've ever thought about it in that way.
Were you thinking about it or praying about it?
At the moment, I thought I was thinking about it.
Yep. Were you praying?
I don't think so. It's never crossed my mind that when my mind goes to neutral, that is prayer, because it's just what happens in my head. It's what happens in everybody's head. And how can that be prayer? But I feel like it could be. And then the question is, well, at what point do the thoughts in my head become a prayer? Mm. Do I just say amen at the end? And then suddenly the last 5 minutes of ruminating are a prayer?
Well, so God's always with us, right? So maybe if you think about it, so I think my answer to that about thinking versus praying is direction, right?
Okay.
So if you're in a room with another person, are you in conversation with them or not? What matters is like if you're saying it to them. Now, you can say it out loud and the person is there, but if it's not towards them, that's the line of thinking versus prayer is it going towards the person which you are trying to converse with, which in prayer I think is God.
It feels like then the issue is intention. Like, because I could just, I do this a lot when I'm running. My mind just kind of wanders. As part of what I enjoy about running is like my thoughts can go wherever. They're not linear. It's kind of letting it all sift. And sometimes I'm very aware that I'm like hanging on to something. And I'm like, man, this is kind of bothering me. And I'll even say it out loud, be like, hey, God, I've been thinking about this. And for a while, after that initial, like, I'm bringing this up to God, I'm not actually, like, saying anything about him. It doesn't sound theological.
Right.
But it would be like if I were talking to you, like, hey, here's something that's been on my mind. I'm not really sure where this is headed, but it's stuck in my brain, and I wanted to let it out and share it with you. But I'm not sure. I think it has to start with this, the knowledge, like you're saying, that God is here. I'm going to start sharing this thing with him, even if it's raw and I don't really know where I'm headed. I've just started to open my heart.
Okay, okay. So, yes, you're opening your heart, but I think even, so if everything we've talked about so far, it is maybe about the direction. Is it towards God? But I think that there is something more dynamic at play in prayer in its ideal than just I am saying something to God. I would maybe parse it here. You can direct things at God in monologue.
Yeah.
I think in its ideal, what I'm learning is that prayer is more dialogue, which is maybe what makes me think about that, Chris, is you're talking about running and there's something that kind of keeps coming and you're kind of stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, there's something that is coming to the forefront. Now, sometimes that is thought, right? But I think that there are sometimes, Dallas Willard says in his book, Hearing God, he says, the consistent thought that continues to come back, not necessarily out of the normal flow of your thinking, but continues to be present in your mind, or sometimes what feels like in your mind and your heart, may not be your thoughts, that may be God.
The Spirit of God speaking
to you. The Spirit of God speaking. So then, now we're saying, okay, hold on. Are we doing monologue in prayer? Or are we doing dialogue in prayer? I think monologue can be prayer. I'm not saying, if you're monologuing, you're listening right now, and you're like, my prayer is monologue.
I tell God stuff.
Great, yeah. Great, good job, right? Because the kids talk to their parents, and most of the time it's monologue.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, they don't ask a lot of
right? It's not a back and forth, yeah. At least until a certain point of maturity. So I think monologue is, like, not to say monologue is not prayer, dialogue is prayer, but to say maybe dialogue is prayer that we are going towards.
Hmm.
I'm kind of putting that together with, and we talk about Bible intake is like knowing God. And then prayer is conversation with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And so the dialogue piece ends up being pretty important.
It was a few years ago I read the book Answering God by Eugene Peterson.
Right.
As a book about prayer. And that was the main takeaway I had from that, which is that all prayer, he said, is an answer to the God who has spoken first. So
yep.
Any prayer at all is responsive, is an answer to God. And that I think that really transforms how any of us approach prayer, even if we experience it as us mainly talking, starting with the awareness of this conversation has already begun, and I'm not the one that initiated it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it does. Maybe that it began in the Bible because I read something. Maybe it began in my heart because I sensed something. Maybe it began because somebody else said, pray for my Aunt Sally. So, but the initiation always and everything goes back to God. But I think it's particularly keen, like it's really pressing with prayer mm-hmm. to know if we go into this thinking, time to get the juices going. We've started on the wrong foot. God has spoken. We answer.
Well, there's a pressure in that, right?
So much pressure.
So you've said God starts in the Bible. God created the world. Everybody's story begins with God starting something, which means that our spiritual practice with him is a response to what he has already done. And in prayer, I learned this from you. Prayer is a response to what God has already said.
Mm-hmm.
But I even think that we kind of, when we begin to use that language, again, we're saying, is it fair and safe to say then, when we're going to talk about prayer today, conversation is the goal. Like the most recognizable thing that we experience in everyday life that tells us what is happening in prayer is conversation, and that conversation is with God. Is that what's happening in prayer?
I think so. I mean, I think one of the most encouraging things for me to think about with prayer is a relationship with a really, really, really close friend
yeah.
where you can be sitting on the couch and you might have started a conversation and maybe you decided halfway through you need to get a snack and then you came back yeah. and the conversation wanders
sure.
and then halfway through there's a pause, you kind of sit there, it's okay, nobody's uncomfortable because you know this person really well, and then you pick up on a random thought from 2 weeks ago. Like, and
right.
not many relationships are like that.
Yes, but I feel like some people will feel guilty about that, that they feel like they didn't do the right thing in prayer if it wanders. They didn't do the right thing in prayer if they didn't finish the thought. They didn't do the right. I didn't do the right thing in prayer. If I don't get the answer.
And I didn't get to the end.
I didn't hear. I asked a question and I don't know the answer. Did I do it right?
I asked for wisdom and I'm still not sure.
Yeah. Your example there of conversation with a friend, I think, is very helpful because it also then, something that can be frustrating about prayer is all the different ways that you should pray this way, and you should pray this way, and you should do this, and you should do this. And it's like, man, how do I do this checklist? But my conversation with a friend, I'm not saying, well, I need to thank him. I'm not saying I need to tell him what's good about him. I'm not saying I need to ask him a question to help me with this thing that's going on in my life.
Right.
I'm not saying all of these are things that I need to do. I am getting to know this person, and this person is helping me, and we're walking together. Prayer is like, it is the place where I feel like we can truly kind of understand and see what it's like to walk with God, particularly in conversation.
Yeah, prayer is not a meeting, right? Like, you don't come with an agenda, and you don't evaluate the success of it immediately afterwards. That is a different thing.
I see you actively writing that down. Yeah, I like the word conversation because I think this was Eugene Peterson. We can check it later. He said, a conversation is communication where nobody is in charge. And that I think really captures a lot of what we miss when it comes to prayer. It feels more like a meeting. Mm-hmm. There's an agenda, somebody's driving it, and we've got to get somewhere. Where what it is when you're actually having a conversation with a human being, like you're saying, Amy, you start down a road, you abandon that train of thought because something else comes up, or you get distracted, or one story leads to something else. And in a real conversation, a real good conversation, nobody knows where it's going to be after 15 minutes. And that's part of the beauty of it is we actually don't know where this is headed. The spontaneity, the connection, the combination of people makes for a fresh thing.
Yeah.
That inspires me to think, wow, if prayer could be like that, I would want to do it a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. That would feel very freeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have grace for one another that we expect
when we're talking
to give and receive that I think we forget God has for us as well.
Gosh, that's good.
Even more so than we could imagine. And so that really should take the pressure off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh. So prayer is conversation, prayer is dialogue, prayer is conversation with a friend. Mm-hmm. So if that's true, let's do, what are some of the experiences that we can learn from? What are some of the expectations that we need to let go of? And we've already kind of begun to even encroach and get a little bit close to some of those things.
Sure.
I'll kind of say, at least from an experience to learn from, I will say that conversation with a friend is an experience that we can learn from as a model for what prayer should look like. That's a kind of a summary of that, like the last couple of minutes, of I think what we have been saying. But I think there's something very freeing about that. I will actually, so I'll say that's an experience to learn from, but then I want to ask a question. So how close is conversation with a friend who is a fellow believer, how close is that to prayer? Mm. Holy Spirit's in me, Chris.
Mm.
Holy Spirit's in you, Chris. We're having a conversation. It's a vulnerable conversation. We're helping each other. We have said before, God can speak through you to say things to me. It's not prayer. It's conversation with a friend. But how close is it? And when you don't know,
70%? I don't know how 5 feet.
Yeah,
I don't know how close
5 feet.
I think
about
it's
a cubit.
Yeah, cubit and a half. I think it's. I want to keep them distinct.
They are
just fair. Because prayer matters a lot. But it's like if you make prayer everything, then suddenly I don't know. It waters it down so much that I'm confused. If prayer is everything, then prayer is nothing. So I think a conversation with a friend where both parties have the Spirit of God and God is active, I think that's still different than praying, because what I'm thinking about when I'm talking with you or listening to you is you.
Right.
And it's not, it might be later than I'm like, thank you, God, for saying that through Clayton.
Yeah.
But I would want to say that directly to him later.
It's a direction piece, right? But I would say that, so my experience to learn from is conversation. Conversation with another mature friend where we're giving each other grace is a good place to learn from as like, okay, what's an idea of what this looks like with God? There's a lot of differences about God and my friend, but I think there's something to learn there that I think is really important. So what do you guys have got? Expectations that we can need to let go of or experiences we need to learn from?
So this might be, prepare yourself, sacrilegious.
Okay.
I'm prepared.
Okay.
So my theological helmet on.
You guys know this verse in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing.
Sure.
Yes.
That without ceasing part, I struggle with quite a bit because here's the deal. At some point, I have to cease.
You do cease.
Like, we know this. We know this to be true, and yet I feel guilty about it. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, what – I've heard sermons before. I know that, you know, the literal words pray without ceasing are not what Scripture is after here. But how do we reconcile that, like, in actual real life?
Yeah, so what Chris was saying is, like, prayer is not everything. If you do it, waters it down. So it's not saying that everything you're doing is prayer, but what is it saying, Chris?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, that verse has always been, there are certain verses that are so categorical that when you take them at face value, they almost seem absurd. And you want to, like, give them weight and credit. But just to put it in very plain terms, for several hours a day, you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. Are you expected to be praying while you're sleeping? What would that even look like? So, I mean, that starts to kind of pull the thread to unravel the idea of, are we meaning this to say that literally every moment of my day, my thoughts are acutely pointed towards God in some way? I think that's an unreasonable way of getting at it.
I've heard it said it's more of like a readiness, a preparation, a spirit awareness and attention to the spiritual and what God might be doing. And so I think that is the pray continuously is a heart posture towards a readiness to pray. And if we're making this about conversation, because guys, we say this is easier than you think. And so far this feels a little bit harder than when I got here.
Right. Harder, yeah.
So, but I would say the categorization for me then is that in conversation, like if I'm in the room with someone, I have a readiness to be able to converse, whether they start or I start, but there's a readiness to that because I see them there.
Yeah.
I think pray without ceasing, the way I've heard it before, is like there is a readiness, there's a spiritual like attention to the fact that of what God is doing and what he might be saying to me and leading me in, that it's that readiness that is much easier to be ready for when you see a person in your physical presence. But it takes a little bit more of a spiritual practice when it is God is here, God is leading in me, and we're trying to cue ourselves all the time to this. I think that's what pray without ceasing is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, maybe we need to do some Greek studies. I think Paul is just saying, don't stop. Like you're tempted to give up in praying.
Okay.
And don't.
All right.
Pray without stopping. He doesn't mean literally only ever pray, you know,
right.
Don't take lunch breaks. He just means
keep going.
Tomorrow, pray again. The next day, pray. This is not a practice that you graduate out of. This is going to be a lot of temptations to give up, and don't. And Jesus told a lot of parables about prayer, and I think one of them in Luke. Luke even gives the setup and says, okay, now Jesus told them this story so that they would pray and never give up. And I would read that in the same in the same lens. It's
That's
like
helpful.
Paul wants us to pray and never give up, which I would need that reminder as much as anybody, right? Like there are certain things you pray for over and over again and you want to put it aside. Even if it's just, God, will you change this in me? And Paul is saying, don't do that. Just keep plugging away.
Yeah. All right. What else? What, Chris, you got one? An experience to learn from or an expectation we need to let go of?
Yeah. When I was a baby believer, I didn't know how to pray. I'd seen all the stuff. Like I'd been in church and so I'd kind of seen how it worked, but I'd never prayed personally. Like privately, but I wanted to. I felt like it was very important. So I went and I got a book, and it listed all the different ways to pray. There were 12.
Oh, okay.
And so I wrote them down.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it had confession, thanksgiving, adoration, supplication, meditation, listening, whatever. So I wrote them all down.
Right.
And what I decided to do was, well, these all matter a lot. You can't miss any, right? So I will do 5 minutes a day on each of these. I made a list. I wrote them down. I had a paper in my Bible, and I would just go through and be like, okay, I had a timer, and I would set my 5 minutes and be like, okay, I'm supposed to be telling God how he's awesome for 5 minutes. And I would do that, and then, okay, now I thank him for 5 minutes and do that. And it was it's very much like me, if you know me at the time.
Well, me as well, yeah. I think a lot of people have done that.
Yeah, but as I think of it now, I'm like, gosh, how tedious would that be if you translate that to, you know, going on a date. Like, I really want to know about this other person. So what do you do? Well, you have to ask personal questions and you have to listen. And so I would come with a sheet and be like, okay,
right. Which I,
we've got 3 minutes. Please tell me about your relationship with your siblings.
Something tells me you've prepared for a date like that before,
and
though.
Yeah, yeah. They were really close. And I think the common thread there was not recognizing what conversation is, how it happens, how dynamic it can be. And especially with prayer, seeing what should have been a lot of beautiful opportunities, like, oh, okay, it doesn't have to look the same every time. 5 minutes in silence can be prayer, or reading a prayer that's been written from the church. That can be prayer too. Instead of looking at those as opportunities, I felt like I had to do all of them every time. And it was exhausting, and I almost immediately hated it.
Right.
Which, you know, I think a lot of us have been there. That sent me down a spiral, right? I hate praying. I must be a really bad person.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was the huge array of opportunities really got in my head. So I think that's an expectation to let go of, is this idea that I need to do each of these every time I pray, or it doesn't count.
Or even in any kind of continual cadence. Like, it's not a rubric. It's not, Amy, to come out what you're saying, it's not a meeting where you had to check
every
the boxes.
Time.
It's not an agenda. It's a conversation. That's good. I think that's because I'm sure if we polled all of our listeners and we said, tell us, like, the rubric that you use to pray, I mean, we could come up with more than 12. I mean, 12 is a great list, but I mean, the way that they even put the 12 together, like, it can,
right.
it's exponential almost, it feels like.
Yep.
So, all right, I got one. I got an experience to learn from.
Let's hear it.
Learn this from you. We were kind of teasing at it a little bit earlier, but we were working on us praying more consistently. We were talking about 7 different types of prayer, but in that, we kind of stumbled on this listen and respond pattern of prayer. That God, it kind of goes back to this God starts piece.
Yep.
Where, like, in the conversation, God has already done something. You said from his word, in your heart, in creation, God has done things that has initiated the conversation to us. Our prayer to him is a response, even if we don't give space or acknowledgement of that response. But the experience to learn from, I think, is if that is the case, and that is our relationship to God, that he starts and we are following, then in prayer, pausing to listen,
right,
reading your Bible, doing something at the initial part of launching into that conversation is very helpful, so that you feel like your conversation, your monologue, if it is one,
sure,
is a response, not a creation in and of itself. Yeah. And I think that is a huge pivot in terms of what we feel like we're trying to accomplish. So, and even more so in public. So say I'm on stage, I'm praying, I'm in a small group, and I'm beginning to pray, right? I feel like right now, I feel the effort and the necessity. I've got to say something good. Everybody's got to be
listening.
Here, everybody has expectations of what's happening. All right, here we go. I'm going to do my thing. Here's the creation. No. I think the pivot, experience we can learn from, is God starts. So listening, what is God doing, and then responding to him in that completely changes the posture of our heart in prayer, and I think more appropriately puts it in the right place.
You know what I do sometimes to try to cue myself to that is when I start praying, if I'm praying out loud, I'll try to make the first sentence be reflect that. God, you said.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then that frames what happens next. So I'm responding, God, you said, and sometimes it can be very, very simple. God, you promised that you would be with us.
Yep.
And you're here with us now. So in light of that, here are the next few things.
Right. Yeah. And I would say, but what I have done is, like, pause for 5 seconds before beginning to. So
just,
I want to pray for Aunt Sally,
yeah,
right? All right. Okay. Hold on. God. All right. God is good and he loves us. All right. So God, you know, then you kind of, you're launching into something that he is inviting you into rather than trying to clamor and grab his attention. That's not the reality that we believe. And so I think that pausing, reminding us ourselves what God has said, reading something, I think can be very helpful. That's an experience that I have learned from recently. So, Amy, you got something else?
Yeah, I think, you know, something that we are constantly trying to do is make new products. And it's really tricky to figure out how to, like, find a life hack for prayer, right? Like, we're trying to make it easier than you think, but there's not necessarily one. Just as there are so many types of prayer, there's not necessarily one way that you can conquer it, right?
Yeah.
Or figure it out. But I really like having something tangible to remind me, to cue me to pray again. And so Chris and Clayton, you guys, you know, were working on a product called Prayer Chips that, you know, it's an idea floating around there still, but
they were too tasty, so they wouldn't last very long. You know, they were so delicious.
Yeah, the saturated fat was
not
great.
Not that kind of chip.
It was a wood chip.
But yeah, I don't know.
I think there's promise to a literal potato chip. We call it prayer chip. Well, I'll write that down, and then you keep going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But just having something, and you know, so that was kind of one experience, one thing that prompted me, like, hey, something tangible would really help here. Right. And it's something that we've taken into our small group as well. So we sit down at the end of each small group meeting. Our leaders split us up into guys and girls. And this is probably a very common thing, but it's so simple. It's so helpful. We each take a post-it note. We write down prayer requests, and then we just trade them.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a way to – my heart is very quick to forget Aunt Sally. Mm-hmm. But when I have a sticky note with my friend's name on it,
right.
And also maybe a prayer request for Aunt Sally – just having that in my life, in my backpack, in my purse, whatever, on my bathroom mirror, reminds me to pray not just for Aunt Sally, but also for my friend. And so yeah. I'm trying to learn from forgetfulness, and the tangible things are helping me with that.
Yeah, there's a way that, you know, the Catholics had this hacked a long time ago with the rosary. I think there's a way that whatever physical thing you use to cue you to pray can easily become just a fidget, essentially. That you're actually not thinking about the prayer while you do it. But I think in general, it's always helpful to have something in hand. We came up with these, this one was a product we're actually using, mm-hmm. the sticky prayers. And I've put them all over the place to act as little speed bumps for me. Like there's one in my car, one on my desk, one on my phone. And I don't stop to pray every time I see or touch them, but I do stop to pray a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will feel this thing and it says, God of heaven, allow me to rest in you. And I'm like, well, I need that reminder a lot. So I need to pause and say, God, I'm putting this on my shoulders. That for me is tangible, but it's also the reminder that little prayers throughout the day, those matter a lot.
Yeah.
It's not just a dedicated time, which I think is also valuable, a quiet time. But if I'm stressed and I am walking into a meeting and I say, God, I'm not really sure how I'm going to do this. I really need your help.
Mm-hmm.
Just literally 10 seconds. That does a lot. And that's really valuable. I'm about to have a hard conversation with my kid. I'm like, God, I want these words to be ones that you're giving me, not mm-hmm. ones that I just come up, make them grace and truth. That's it. And then you go. I think we all know that would be wonderful, but it's the physical thing that to pause, like help me slow down enough to say it in a sentence, and then permission for one sentence mm-hmm. to be a sufficient prayer.
Yeah.
Just say, yeah, no, that's good.
And that reminds me again of, you know, what we're trying to get at with pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
Is, and maybe that's the easier than you think way to go about it. It's less, let's sit down and have an hour long prayer. And for me, at least, I think the goal that I'm going to try to pursue is pray more often, even if it's short, even if it's, you know, 10 seconds, that's better than having not prayed at all, or having set a goal to sit down and have a long drawn out prayer that maybe doesn't happen or maybe isn't fruitful because I forget and get distracted and have a snack.
That makes me think of something I learned from you, Chris, the best type of prayer. Because there are so many different ways you can think about it. The best type of prayer is the one that
you're doing. You asked me, you said, Chris,
doing.
Just tell me, just be straight with me. What is the best kind of prayer? And I said, well, it's whichever one you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the one you're doing because it's the conversation over time. A friend in conversation, not in a meeting, not with an agenda. It is over time and in random ways and with a lot of different varieties of conversation that you get to know that person and walk with them more. And I think if that's the goal, that's the kind of the peak of what we are going for. I think being engaged in it, we're small wins kind of people, being engaged in it, however it looks, I'm pretty confident that if you're engaged with God in prayer, that he is going to be doing something in you.
Mm.
And that's what we're seeking. And so I think that doing whatever type of prayer you're doing, just being engaged in it, I think is very helpful. All right, so a couple of questions, and then we're going to make it easier than you think. So here, this is the random questions Ooh. Of the seminarians, which Uh-oh. Means I ask the questions and you guys answer.
Yeek.
Okay. All right, question number one, if prayer is about conversation, explain liturgical prayers. Why are we all saying the same thing and reading off the paper? Chris, you go.
We use liturgical prayers because God starts the conversation, and sometimes we need to be reminded of the script. That's how I would put it.
Ah, same, Amy?
Yeah, it also brings us together and reminds us that God is with us in spirit. We're all gathered in his name. And so when we respond together in unison, I think that's a really beautiful thing.
Oh, all right. Well, I think y'all got that one right. Now I'm the judge, too. I'm asking the question. All right, here's one.
Did that work?
Is fasting prayer? That's different, right? We've talked about fasting, but how is fasting and prayer related? It's tying your heart to God, right? Amy, you go first this time.
Yeah, they for sure should go together, but they are distinct things because you can do the prayer without the fasting, for sure. The fasting is, you know, an intention and a direction, almost an add-on, but I'm not going to feel good about saying that.
Oh, and she looks at Chris to pass.
Yep.
Did I go?
They're different, but I don't think you can have successful fasting without prayer.
Is that right, Chris? You agree?
I don't want to put myself in contradiction. I'll just give a complimentary answer.
Got it.
Amy said you can pray without fasting. You can also fast without praying. We have medical fasts for various reasons, and they don't automatically become spiritual just because you're not eating.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I'm not trying to throw shade on anybody for their fasting habits. It's just a reality.
Yeah.
Just like you can read the Bible without intending to know God.
Yes.
So what are you doing? What's your intent and your heart behind it? So fasting, Amy said fasting provides a context, I think, for prayer. Mm-hmm. You need to remember to do it. It is good to do them together. And I always like to think of fasting as a body-led prayer rather than beginning with a truth in my head. I'm beginning with the felt experience in my body, which means most of the prayers when I'm fasting sound like, God, I'm really weak without you.
Yeah.
I need you, because this is the feeling you have when you're fasting.
Okay.
That's good.
All right. Next one. So, do you get partial credit for praying if you fall asleep or if you get distracted?
I love this.
Well, answer it then.
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not about credit. We should know this.
It's not a meeting. Yeah.
It's not a meeting.
Got it.
But it totally counts. Is that the ideal situation? No, but it doesn't mean that the words, the heart posture, the listening, meditation, anything that you had done before you fell asleep, it doesn't mean that it doesn't count anymore.
Okay. All right.
Think about if you were holding Susan and she was telling you a story from her day and she dozed off halfway through the story.
Oh, man.
You wouldn't be like, what's wrong with you, kid?
Yeah.
You would think that's a really sweet moment. Yeah. And if we do the same with God, I think he's going to have the same posture towards us.
And actually, what a blessing to have been in that posture and to have been granted sleep.
Okay. Yeah. All right. The questions keep getting weirder. Okay. So here's the next one. So if I had a thought process earlier in the day or 2 days ago, and it was thinking, because I wasn't directing it at God, right? But now I want that to count as prayer.
Ooh.
Can I go backwards?
You throw on a help at
that,
the end?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? So like, is that, does it now count as prayer, Chris?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
See, this is hard because
he was there and
this.
He heard you. You do it?
I do this all the time.
All right, explain,
and
please.
I think I know that it's not, you know, quite all the way there.
All right, so if you do it, explain it a little bit more. Defend yourself. defend my question.
I don't know if you experienced this. I've learned recently that not everybody has, like, constant dialogue running through their head.
Right.
But
I do.
I am thinking many conversations in my head a lot.
Yes, yeah.
So I often find my mind wandering and thinking about things, and sometimes they are worries or anxieties or fears, to which I tag on a, ooh, God, all of that?
Okay.
Can you help?
See, but she's right, though, right? So I do this driving down the road. Driving down the road, you're thinking, you're kind of, you're planning, you're having an idea, and you're like, hold on. Like, Amy needs to know that. Like, I call Amy. Amy, now, maybe I'm repeating a little bit of that for Amy,
certainly,
right? So it's like, I'm kind of coming. So see, Chris, that's what we're talking about. You can retroactively make something that was a thought of prayer.
Yeah. What do they say about meditation? That this is like general meditation, not just Christian ones. That the practice of meditation is when you notice your thoughts start to wander, draw them back.
Yeah.
So it assumes the wandering and that you're going to constantly draw them back. I'd say something similar is at play here. When you notice a train of thought that you want to bring to God, bring it to God.
And,
you know, you don't have to go back and be like, man, I had a lot of thoughts on Monday. Sure wish that I had brought them to God. It's like, well, how about you just, since they're on your mind now, bring them to him now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So random soapbox here for a minute. I think that we're really bad at confession. And I think that what these opportunities are tiny moments of confession opportunities to say, wow, God,
I should have.
My thoughts were not directed toward you. I was not in your presence thinking about these things, consciously entering into dialogue with you, and I should have. Like, forgive me and help me.
Okay.
I like that.
And I think that we should be doing a lot more of that. Confession is not just a big time, like, serious sin situation. Uh-huh. It's also for the little moments, too, because we know we get distracted.
Well,
let's
slot confession as a future podcast episode. And here's another one that we just slot that Chris brought up, which is my final random question, which is meditation. Or so like silence and solitude is probably what we would have a longer conversation about. I think that there's something there about our relationship to work, our relationship to busyness versus being, you know, that there's a great conversation we had there. But meditation and prayer, how are those related to each other? So when is meditation Buddhist and when is it Christian? Chris, you answer.
The Buddhist goal of meditation is to empty your mind. The emptiness, the nothingness is the goal.
Okay.
The Christian goal of meditation is to quiet your mind, to hear the thoughts in the Spirit of God.
Okay.
So they're similar in that there's a lot of noise you want to get rid of.
Yes.
And you need a lot of time quiet to actively trying to push thoughts away or letting your thoughts settle to get there.
But one is blank and one is listening.
What you're trying to do with them is fundamentally opposite.
Jeez. Yeah. Fullness from, I feel like one is seeking emptiness and one is seeking fullness in the voice of God. That's beautiful. All right. Well, let's make it easier than you think. How do you kickstart prayer in 5 minutes or less? So rather than just having one for the family, let's all kind of come up with maybe a best practice of how you can kickstart prayer in with your family. So I'll go first. I think it is have good conversations with your kids. I think that this actually applies. Have good conversations with your friends. Sure. And that is not prayer, Chris says. But I think that if you finish conversations with your friends, especially deep and meaningful ones, by praying together, you get bonus points. Just kidding. We're not points, right? It's not a meeting. But I think that is a good way to finish that. I try to practice with our girls. Kristen actually does it better than me, is when they come to us and they just unload something, sometimes with tears, sometimes with anger, but there are a lot of feelings and we're directing them and we're helping them. At the end of that conversation, Kristen is better than me. She'll say, do you want to pray about that? And Kara says, yes, I'll pray about that. And Susan says, no, I don't want to.
You do it.
Do it, right? But anyway, she's finishing that conversation with prayer, which I think is an excellent model of what prayer actually is. We had a conversation. I helped. It's hard for you, my child, to do that with God right now. I'm trying to teach that to you. Yeah. I think that's maybe the best place to teach them about like this full conversational version of prayer is at the end of a conversation, you then pray with them. There's a place for praying at bedtime. There's a place for praying for specific things. There's a place for praying at mealtime. But I think if we're talking about conversation, finishing good conversations with your kids with prayer is an excellent way to make it easier than you think. Amy, what about you? How do we make it easier than you think with our family?
So I like to do an old school thing, which some people might hate, but I like a prayer circle at dinner, where before you pray, you go around, everybody takes a turn.
Okay.
This is probably not an everyday situation, but this is really helpful when you feel like kids are ready to pray and able and enjoy it, but just have a little bit of anxiety about all the eyes being on them. I mean, maybe they're bowed, but at dinner, realistically, all the eyes being on them.
Right.
And so I like having, you know, a parent or another grown up start.
Decreases the pressure.
Exactly.
If everybody is sharing and everybody gets to go, it's not like one person has to do the whole performance for everybody.
Just take the pressure off and everybody says something and then nobody feels called out.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Chris, what about you?
To make it easier than you think for families, set your kids up with a fill in the blank prayer. So most kids, even if they're super chatty,
like Mad Libs?
Yeah, almost.
Exactly like that.
Prayer Libs. We're just getting so many ideas here. We're going to pump these guys out. Even the chattiest kid will suddenly clam up if you ask them to pray. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. I know some will just go for it, right? But I find my kids are like Susan, right? You ask right. them to pray, like, could you? Or I don't want to.
Yeah.
However, if you start the sentence and just ask them to fill in the blank, they'll almost always like
That's
do
good.
It.
So, yeah.
So like, let's pray. We're going to thank God for something. I'll say, God, thank you for, and then you finish the sentence. Yeah. So you tell them what you're going to say, and then you say, God, thank you for, and then they start going. And sometimes they go longer, but it's just easy on ramp, fill in the blank prayer, and they can take it from there.
Yeah, it's good. All right, so what about for grown-ups? How do you kickstart prayer? I mean, it's this huge, big thing. It seems really, really hard. We talked about it for a really long time, but let's make it really, really easy. I mean, it seems like it's a lot about intention and conversation, but what's your recommendation, Chris, for making it easier than you think for grown-ups?
Yeah, I'm going to say two things. One, if we already said something that unlocked something for you today, then that's your thing.
Do that one.
Hang on to that and say, ooh, that's going to change things, because I don't want to steer you.
Add a new thing on top of something you've already grown.
If you haven't yet, I think one of the most helpful things you can do is to have something physical, have some kind of tangible cue that trips you up and makes you pause long enough to pray. You may need to fuss with that. You're almost certainly going to need to fuss with that. Maybe it's not the right thing, right? You have a little chip that you carry around, or that doesn't work. Or maybe it's not in the right spot. So give yourself a lot of freedom to try it out for a couple of days and say, well, that didn't stop me at all. I ignored it. Must not be the right thing in the right spot. But do this until you can find a tangible thing that does slow you down, get your attention, and then use that as a cue to pray.
That's great. Well, I mean, it's really hard. Spiritual practice is something that it's difficult. It takes a lot of an intention and attention. We're trying to make things easier than you think. So thank you for listening with us today. Hopefully we have made prayer easier than you thought it was, but also expanded to how great it can be at the same time. Because I think there's something beautiful with what God invites us into that. And there's something beautiful with our spiritual lives with God that I think that is the trajectory of our life with Him. If we're engaged with Him in prayer and Bible reading or hospitality or fasting or Sabbath or whatever it is, I think we're taking that direction from small steps of engaging with our Father, God, our Father, I think it's taking us somewhere in closer relationship with Him, towards fullness, towards really heaven now and in the not yet, which we are looking forward to. If you are listening today and you think this would be encouraging for someone else because you were talking about prayer or they were asking them for you for prayer, send them, subscribe to the podcast. We'd love to have you around for all these episodes. But for now, thank you for joining us on the Good Kind Podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Good Kind Podcast. We hope you leave feeling more equipped to engage with God and one another in your habits and holiday practices. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe, like, and comment. We're excited to share more content with you soon. Don't forget, you can find us online at www.goodkind.shop. Thanks for listening, and see you next time on the Good Kind Podcast.
And all God's people said...
Amen. Amen.